Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation with Lynn Scarlett, Assistant Secretary for Policy Management and Budget at the U.S. Department of Interior. And joining us in our conversation is another PwC-er, Ken Bresnahan.
Well, Lynn, you talked a bit about the importance of integration of budget and performance information. Why is this so important, and what is the current state of affairs at the Interior Department?
You know, it's just an incredibly important focus. I would say almost the central focus. Government is about ultimately delivering services. And yet, ironically, we haven't always, when measuring our success, asked, well, what was the outcome? Did we, for example, create a healthier forest by virtue of our investment in, say, riparian or stream restoration? Have we actually delivered a good education outcome in the delivery of our education dollars, say, to the Bureau of Indian Affairs and to their constituents, the Indians? So what performance and budget integration is all about is to focus on the outcome, say, what is our mission? What are the components of that mission? What really constitutes success? And are we doing it? Are we achieving it? One of the things that we have done in the past, or many agencies have done in the past, is to tend to define their goals as outputs. That is, instead of saying, gee, is the air cleaner? Or, boy, is the water cleaner? Or, have we delivered good education? It's to say, how many permits did we issue? That's an output. That's not an outcome. How many permits you issue doesn't tell us at all about whether the world is a better place to live. Or we have measured them in terms of inputs. Gee, success in terms of resource management is how many biologists have we hired? Well, that's an input. Likewise, how many dollars? Even the American public is often driven to kind of define success in these terms. What's your budget for conservation? What's your budget for some building project? Well, when you think about it, it's not the dollars that's the test of success. It's, did you really, on the ground, achieve conservation results? Have you protected endangered species? Have you improved a forest and its sustainability, for example? So the first part of budget and performance integration is actually to say, well, what the heck is performance? And have we defined it in terms of real outcomes, not inputs or outputs? But that's just the first step. You then need to say, well, what resources do we need and what sets of activities do we need to do to make sure we're delivering those outcomes? And so we're undergoing a new strategic planning process. We brought together all of our stakeholders. We had them talk about our mission. We had them discuss, well, what do you think is the real outcome of these programs? We then took that information, we kind of digested it, worked with all of our bureaus then to take the outcomes that the citizenry said they think Interior is about delivering, and then say, well, how do you measure that? I mean, it's one thing to say, well, our mission is healthy landscapes. But then, of course, the challenge is, well, how in the world do you measure that? So we've worked really hard over the last 3 or 4 months with our bureaus to figure out how do you measure that. We've come up with some outcome measures. The next step will be to then say, okay, now we've got these outcome measures. What programs and activities are we currently doing? Does it look like they're going to really yield those outcomes that we've decided we need to measure? If not, how do we change those programs and activities? And then in our budget request, make sure that the request is for those activities and those programs and those priorities that link to, or that we think link to, achieving those outcomes. So that's what it's all about, making sure that you're driving your resources towards achieving the outcomes that Congress bequeathed to us for our responsibilities.
Let me ask you about something you mentioned in the last segment, activity-based costing. I guess in a nutshell, what is it and why is it so important to decision makers?
Activity-based costing is really a pioneering for government way of kind of crunching its numbers, if you will, and managing its activities. Most government budgets historically have been budgets based on simply line item accounts, things like here's your labor budget, here's your fuel budget, here's your facilities operation account, things like that. While on the one hand, that enables, say, Congress or a legislator to say, well, you know, how much money are you spending on personnel? It doesn't in any way allow us to say, gee, how much does it cost us to run a National Park Service visitor center? It doesn't tell us, how much does it cost to deliver our grazing program out in the West? It doesn't allow us to answer the question, how effectively are we operating our dams that provide water for irrigation or that provide hydropower? How do we compare with, for example, the private sector that also operates dams or the local conservation districts that also provide irrigation? So what activity-based costing does is to begin to collect information where you're allocating people time by amount of time spent on a particular program or activity. You're allocating your facilities or equipment to the program that it actually delivers. And that allows you to do all kinds of really good management things. An example that we have, Bureau of Land Management and Office of Surface Mining. They are two pioneers. I'm pleased to say at Interior, we're kind of ahead of the eight ball on this. Bureau of Land Management went to activity-based costing. It took it 4 years to introduce it. It was not easy. But they're now able to present how much does it cost their field offices to operate grazing fee permitting programs. What that allows them to do is to say, well, gee, here's the trend line. This looks like the general trend line. How come that field office is way down here in the low-cost area? And how come this other one is way up here in the high-cost area? Now, it doesn't mean that the low-cost one is really efficient. When you ask that question, you might find out they're cutting corners. Or when you look at the really expensive one, you may find out that their operating conditions, their geographic circumstances, are particularly challenging. But it allows you to ask that question, begin to identify best practices, and then roll them out across all the field offices. Office of Surface Mining, one of the ways that it was able to use this tool was that it operates an abandoned mine reclamation program, but states also do. And one of the claims had always been, well, gee, your offices at Interior are more expensive than our state offices providing these same programs. Activity-based costing allowed us to look inside our particular offices and say, how come, you know, how many people do they have to run the same program? We found two surprising things. One reason they were more costly was because they were actually not only our offices that were providing mining reclamation, were not only providing that service, but they were providing a lot of research and information to the state offices. So they had some personnel dedicated to that, a kind of extra service. However, the Office of Surface Mining was also able to find out, well, even if we account for those research services, even if we account for those extra people doing that above and beyond, we still are a little people heavy there. And so maybe over time we need to, as that office evolves and as people retire, maybe we need to think about tightening up the ship a little bit. So that's what activity-based costing allows us to do, to find that information, identify those management challenges, and then manage towards them.
You said it took BLM 4 years to implement activity-based costing. Why did it take so long?
Well, the Bureau of Land Management is a very large agency with a lot of field offices. It did not have the basic accounting tools or the data. Remember that if you have been doing your accounts simply, what's our labor cost, what's our this cost, you need to implement a system whereby your field offices begin to report, break their day up into parts. Well, I spent 2 hours on this activity and 3 hours on that. They needed to develop those tools. They needed to develop the accounting systems and kind of migrate the information over. Now, however, that shouldn't scare people, because by contrast, the Office of Surface Mining was able to implement in a very quick and fairly seamless fashion activity-based costing. Its expense to do so was minimal, almost an eyelash of its total cost. So sometimes this can be done quickly, and sometimes at really relatively little expense. In the case of Bureau of Land Management, much more complicated agency. It took a little more doing and a little bit more investment. There is also a learning curve. We are now rolling out activity-based costing across all of our 8 bureaus, so the 6 others. We do not expect the complicated other bureaus, National Park Service. It's equally as complex as BLM, in fact, probably even more so. But we don't expect it to take 4 years. We think that it will be able to learn from BLM. It already has begun to implement business plans in some of its parks. Some of those business plans already include activity-based costing as part of the business planning process. So it need not take years, and I think that with the learning curve, that time frame actually decreases rapidly as new agencies come on board.
It's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Lynn Scarlett of the Department of Interior. What would your life be like without email? We'll ask Lynn when the Business of Government Hour continues.